AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
O'clock East, 12 o'clock Central. We have baseball starting in about an hour from now, and we talked some DFS here on the show. We're going to hear from Kike Hernandez of the Boston Red Sox coming up here in a couple of minutes. But Davis, NHL starts tonight. The NHL season is here. A couple of games tonight. I know we were following that at the end of last year. It feels like it just ended, and now here it is again starting.
Well, the same thing for basketball, right? I saw this on Saturday, but do you remember that iconic photo of Jimmy Butler in the finals where he's exhausted and he's leaning over the paneling? Someone said that was a year ago, and I was like, there's no way that can be true. And it is true that the bubble finals in Orlando was a year ago. So we played and we did that whole season, and then we compressed the off season, and then we compressed the regular season and the 72 games. Like it is unreal what the COVID restart has done to seasons that were underway in March of 2020. So, you know, true in soccer, true in hockey, true in basketball. It's just been crazy, but we're finally back to, I think, a real schedule for basketball and hockey now.
Yep, looks that way tonight. We're going to preview these games coming up. George Kurtz will join us in 5 minutes. Three baseball elimination games today. That's where we begin in terms of our headlines. And the first game starts at 2 o'clock Eastern between the White Sox and Astros. How about the Raging Cajuns taking on Appalachian State? Both teams are 4-1. App State is a slight favorite. I see 4 on FanDuel. NHL opening night. I went to ESPN.com today. Was shocked to see anything on the NHL on ESPN.com. And I forgot that the NHL's back on ESPN. I guess that's why. John Gruden, his time as a head coach in the NFL appears to be over. He ends up resigning after inflammatory emails that were sent a little bit over a decade ago or close to it. And Rich Bisaccia is named the interim coach there. Big story in baseball last night, no question. The Boston Red Sox, huge underdogs in the series. Of course, to the Tampa Bay Rays, they've taken out the Yankees, and then last night they took out the Rays, and the walk-off shot was a sacrifice fly from Kike Hernandez, who talked about the environment in Boston.
This place is special, and I'm glad it took this long for me to realize that, because at the beginning of the year, I played here two series. I mean, I played here in the World Series for the first time in my career, and then in 19, we started the second half. I think we started the second half here. And, you know, when you're on the road, you don't really realize, like, unless the place is, like, crazy loud or whatever, you don't really realize how loud it is. And when we came into the World Series, like, things did not go our way the two games that we played here. And, like, I didn't even have time to, like, think about how loud this place was. mainly because it was way too cold. I was like, oh my goodness, we just went from like 80 degree weather to like 30 degree weather because those two games here were freezing. So I never really had time to think about it. And then 19, the team wasn't playing that great. So like, and we won that series. So we never allowed them to get that loud. And it was, I don't even remember when it was that we got 100% capacity back. But like, once we got that 100% capacity back, like, you just felt it, you know, you just couldn't wait for 7-10 to come to like get going and start a game, especially when like when we play better teams. And this place gets rocking, man. This place gets rocking, and this place is a lot of fun to play in, and not that fun to play in when you're a road team, and that gives us a little bit of an advantage, and I'm glad I'm wearing white when we play here.
I mean, Davis, I'm not sure what you're going to do here if Houston makes it. Houston, Boston, I mean, the lesser of two evils. Who would you have at that point?
Lesser of two evils. I mean, you know what? I want to have Boston lose a World Series just for the Bill Simmons tweets. I think that's what I'm in there for. Like them losing and then Bill Simmons getting mad is that's what I'm signed up for the baseball playoffs for.
Yeah, I mean, we're really heading down a road we haven't been in a while. I mean, can you imagine if the Dodgers lose tonight to the Giants and we basically, what do we have, the two teams that got there last year done? And we're not even in the AL or NLCS. I mean, a Giants-Astros World Series? Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll be interested. I'll want to watch. But this was not really the setup going into the postseason, right? Didn't feel like it.
No. I mean, it didn't it feel like we were set up for the Dodgers White Sox, and that was going to be, you know, the conclusion of the season. The White Sox, definitely the story of the American League, I thought, and then the Dodgers with the trade for Scherzer and Turner and, you know, Kershaw, and oh, you know, Pujols is on the team. Like, it felt like they were the story of the National League, and then, you know, we're going to be imagine the ratings for a Rays Giants World Series final. You know, MLB is not rooting for that.
Well, Rays are out, but yes, Houston, San Francisco. The only people watching in the American League would be the people in Houston. Maybe I guess people would watch to root against Houston. I don't know. Really interesting to see.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Definitely some new teams, it looks like, headed to the World Series. And I'd be a little worried about LA at this point, down in the series too, going back to San Francisco no matter what, even if they lose this game. All right, plenty more to come here on the show. Couple of games tonight in the NHL. We get our first look at the Seattle Kraken. What do they bring to the table? George Kurtz joins us to tell us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2021-22 NHL season gets started tonight, which means, of course, we have to bring in our resident expert to give us a preview of the season, both from a fantasy standpoint, little daily fantasy discussion, and just kind of what's going on with the NHL. George Kurtz will be refereeing, hopefully, and catching some of these games tonight. Also, a huge story, the debut of the Seattle Kraken. George, thanks for coming on the show. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure. And happy hockey day to you, Greg.
Yeah, well, it's you know, in this household, it's huge. We put coats on. We make the house really cold. You know, I mean, we have all the traditions that you would normally do in Florida for hockey.
Hey, you know what? You're in South Florida now. Tampa Bay has won the Cup the last two seasons. That's more or less what, Central Florida, Northern. So not really your neck of the woods. But right. A lot of people think the Florida Panthers, they're a team that they lost to the Lightning last year in the second round of the playoffs. That they're the team to watch, that they might be the team this year that, I don't want to say comes out of nowhere, that's not fair, but that it becomes a legitimate threat. The problem for the Panthers is Tampa Bay's in your division, Boston's in your division, Toronto's in your division, Montreal, who made the Stanley Cup Finals last year, is in your division. It is the division from hell.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. You know, Panthers, we're still waiting for, you know, another cup run here. Hopefully it happens over the next couple of years. I do want to talk more about the Seattle Kraken here before we get to a DFS look for tonight. Expansion sports is just really interesting, George, in general, because we don't get this a lot in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, in the NFL. What is Seattle up against this season? You know, based on the expansion draft, based on who they have, I know they're a huge underdog in game one, and they'll be a huge underdog, I'm guessing, all season long. But the NHL has kind of made it in the sense where if it's anything like Vegas, they kind of have a chance to compete a little bit, don't they?
They should have. Now, it depends on who you're talking to here. When Vegas came in, it's true, the other 30 teams had no idea what was going on with the expansion draft. All right, how they were going to work it. And they worked it. Vegas worked it to their advantage like no other team we've ever seen. They leveraged everything. Anything they can get on you, they got from you. You want us to eat your cap? Okay, we want two first-round picks. We want this guy. We want your firstborn. That's how they approached it. Seattle didn't really go that direction. Now, if you want to listen to Ron Francis, the general manager of Seattle, he'll tell you, well, other teams, they were used to that. They got better at it. You know, they weren't willing to offer that. Yet the teams will tell you, oh, it was out there, but Seattle wanted more. You know, they wanted your first child and your second child, maybe your house too and your car, that sort of thing. They wanted a lot. And that's what we'd heard from rumors really all throughout the process. And Seattle ended up not making those kinds of deals. And therefore, they're not going to be anywhere near as good as what Vegas was year one when Vegas went to the Cup Finals. It was nuts. We'd never seen something like that. Craig, odds are Seattle's a pretty bad team this year. They have a lot of work that needs to be done. They're good in goal. I don't think they'll give up a ton of goals, but their forwards lack a lot. They're not going to score a lot of goals. Defense could be an issue as well, especially if injuries hit, and we know they will. Seattle is not going to be anywhere near what Vegas was. The only good news for Seattle, A, well, they don't have a lot of money on their cap. They're going to go be heavy players with free agency after the season, but also they play in probably the weakest division in the NHL, the Western Conference. It's not going to help them. They're not making the playoffs this year, but still, I don't think they'll be utterly terrible either.
All right, well, let's take a look at the DFS action for tonight. And again, it's a two-game slate, so you know, this is all new to me. I usually on FanDuel don't play a ton of NHL, but this will help some people who are thinking about dipping their toe in tonight. Let's take a look at some pricing here over on FanDuel. And, of course, with Crosby out tonight at center, your options are Point, Malkin, Carlson, and Carter. We got Point at 7,600, Malkin 5,900, Carlson 5,400, and then Carter at 4,900. And again, you know, this is all sort of new for a lot of people, George, in terms of playing this. I know You know, of course, DFS and hockey has been out for some time, but if somebody's jumping in for the first time tonight, which direction would you go there?
Well, Malkin's also out, by the way. He's out longer than Crosby. Crosby, at first they said he's going to be out all of October. Now it looks like he's just out for the road trip, and we'll take it day by day after that. Malkin, first report was he's out till December. And yeah, so I think the Penguins are a fade all year long. I don't think they're going to be all that great a team. I said your two superstars are already banged up. You tell me these guys are going to play 70-plus games? Eh. But as for tonight, I said Tristan Jarry-Annette, he lost a starting job last year at least once, maybe twice. They're going to give up some goals here. So you're looking at your Tampa Bay Lightning here. Braden Point, if the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't have Steven Stamkos, didn't have Nikita Kucherov, we would be talking about Braden Point. He's a fantastic player. He just doesn't get enough love because they have Stamkos. We all know Stamkos. You all know Kucherov, one of the top five players in the NHL. Point is a top 10 player, top 12 player. He is that good. Tough to keep Point out of your lineup here. I'd be looking up and down for your Lightning here. I don't think I'm going to go with Pittsburgh at all, other than maybe Chris Letang.
All right, let's take a look at the wings here for some options here. And you mentioned, of course, Kucherov, who is 8,600 tonight on FanDuel. Stamkos is 7,500. We also have Pacioretty at 7,300. We also have Stone at 7,000. Rust is 6,200. And then Pallett at 5,900. As you can tell, I'm speaking your language, George, and not mine here with the pricing tonight.
You were pretty good, though, outside of Andre Palat. You were pretty good. So Palat's the one guy I'm looking at here because he's the cheaper guy. We're going to need some cheap players here. Palat, I don't want to see him to break out last year, but he was really good, better than we expected, and they needed that. That's what Tampa Bay needed because Kucherov was out the entire season, because Stamkos was hurt for about 6 to 8 weeks at the end of the season. Tampa Bay has that kind of depth. This is why it's not fair. It's just not fair. These guys who aren't superstars became stars last year. So Palat is somebody who's going to be in my lineup tonight. You want to spend on Kucherov? That's fine. He's a top five player in the NHL. He's fantastic. Him and Stamkos taking those one-timers on power plays in a slot is fantastic. It's great. I don't know if you can afford both here, so the plot's going to have to be in a lot of lineups here. Like I said, I like Ryan Rust, but who's getting on the puck? Can't say it again. No Crosby. No Malkin. Don't like anybody on Pittsburgh in this game. Plus, you're going up against Vasilevsky. He's the best goaltender in the NHL, and I'm not sure it's close.
All right, well, let's close it out here and see if we can find some defensemen here. We have Hedman at 6,700, Pietrangelo at 6,400, Theodore, it says he's day-to-day here, George. You'll tell me if he's playing tonight in this Seattle-Vegas game, 6,200. Letang is 5,800, and Giordano I have here, 4,600, and you see some other options there tonight. So let's close it out here with defensemen tonight in this two-game slate.
Yeah, Giordano's on Seattle. He was one of their picks in the expansion draft. A very good player from the Calgary Flames there. More of a captain type guy here. 4,600. I'm kind of interested, but I don't see Seattle scoring many goals tonight against Robin Leonard and Vegas. So I go to the Vegas route. Theodore is a game time decision. So, Craig, we're probably not going to find out till later on tonight, pregame skate. You know, one thing in the NHL, it's worse than football and baseball, by the way. Everything's state secrets. They don't tell you anything for some reason. It's really annoying how they keep everything until the pregame skate about a half hour before the game. That's when you can find out. You follow the right beat writers, you'll know if the guy's going to play at night. I think he does, but it wouldn't shock me if Vegas goes, we're going to beat them anyway. Let's give him a couple of days off here. But Theodore will be in my lineup if he plays.
All right, so let's end with this. Who is your call to win it all here this year, George? I mean, it's just as easy as going with Tampa Bay or any other long shot possibilities here for the season?
It certainly goes through Tampa Bay. I mean, I'm not going to pick them because I'm going to be a little different here, but Tampa Bay, they're going to be there. They're a great team as long as they stay healthy. I say they have the best goaltender in the NHL. They have great forwards. They have, you think it's Victor Hedman for DFS. He's a great defenseman. But I think Colorado gets the monkey off their back this year. Right. I know they got wiped out by Vegas, and Vegas will be around as well, by the way. I think those are three of top four final teams there. But Colorado gets the monkey off their back. They're very much like the Tampa Bay Lightning. The only question for Colorado for me is Darcy Kemper. They signed him in free agency. They let Grubauer go. Kemper gets hurt each and every year. Fine during the regular season. Just be healthy in the playoffs. Give me the Avalanche over the Lightning.
Wow, there it is. George picks the Colorado Avalanche to win it all in 2022. By the way, a lot of hockey coverage tonight coming up. Of course, our good friends Gabe Morency, Cam Stewart, they got you covered. Follow George on Twitter at George Kurtz for the latest in the NHL right here on Sports Grid. George, thank you again for coming on. Appreciate it. Enjoy opening night. We'll catch up again soon.
My pleasure, Craig. Anytime.
All right, George Kurtz with us. Of course, his Yankees are out of the baseball playoffs, so unfortunately for George, is having to watch, you know, these the Red Sox Rays series. I know it's tough for him for sure. Okay, we'll take a quick break here on the show. More fantasy sports today. Davis will join me back next.
Giving you your U.S. recommended daily allowance of the winning edge,
24 hours a day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Davis and I hit on the waiver wire, and I'm sure tomorrow we'll be discussing more of this, but there's also an important exercise, I think, for a lot of people who are getting ready to set their lineups this week. And Davis, no doubt, 12, 15 team leagues, you know, after more than a month of the season, it's probably time to start evaluating the players that you have. And, you know, some players that you felt good about at the beginning of the season, you're just kind of hanging on and waiting. I mean, I don't know. For you, when does it come the point of cutting specific players that you were high on? For me, I mean, it's pretty much now. There are too many players that are sitting out there on the waiver wire that are producing or that are in better spots that I think decisions probably have to be made at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I am fine cutting guys who have been non-productive, especially if I have, you know, let's say, for example, you have a team with Saquon Barkley, Michael Gallup and Jerry Jeudy. You don't really want to cut Gallup. You don't really want to cut Jeudy, especially if you've been holding on to them up until this point. Now you have to deal with Saquon maybe being out for 2 or 3 weeks, and you have some hard decisions. So I tend to try and keep talented but injured players over, you know, your Sterling Shepherds, your DeMarcus Robinsons, you know, kind of these guys who you're like, ah, well, you know, I'll toss him in and maybe hope for a touchdown. Like, I don't want to have a ton of guys like that on my roster. So it tends to be kind of roster-specific, injuries being one of the biggest question marks.
Sure. And by the way, as we go through these players, feel free to use any qualifiers, Davis, 12-team, 15-team league. And, you know, that's definitely part of everybody's conversation. If you're playing with huge rosters, you may not cut these people. If you're playing with short rosters, you may have already cut some of these guys. So let's kind of go through them here a little bit. Let's start off with Trey Sermon of the San Francisco 49ers and a player that was basically drafted as a potential starting running back this season that has not worked out at all. 31 carries, 135 rushing yards. He does have one touchdown, and he's off this week too. He will play week 7 against the Colts. That would seemingly be a pretty decent matchup. We know that Mostert is out for the season. We're also getting closer to seeing maybe if Jeff Wilson Jr. comes back. I feel like we're probably a month away from that. You know, Elijah Mitchell is certainly there. We don't know who's going to be at quarterback for the 49ers in 2 weeks from now. And so Trey Sermon becomes a player at this point, Davis, that essentially has not produced, has not showed. The coaching staff has been really interested in using him full-time. Is he best served at this point for a Ramondre Stevenson, for a Devontae Booker? Is it time to cut bait with Trey Sermon?
So I don't think that it is time to cut bait on Trey Sermon, and this is why. The most recent thing that Kyle Shanahan said after the loss to the Arizona Cardinals this weekend, he said, we're hoping for late November on Jeff Wilson Jr. So if, late November, we're talking about week 12, week 13, they are going to be maybe getting Jamichael Hasty back. Remember, he actually played the passing downs there in week 1, but then he suffered a high ankle sprain in that game. So I think for at least the next 2 weeks, Trey Sermon is going to be, would be considered the handcuff running back in San Francisco. And guess what? Handcuff running backs in San Francisco, even if they're not getting any playing time, still a guy you want, right? You know, we know that they have this really productive rushing game. We know, they, especially if Trey Lance is the quarterback, they're going to want to be running a lot. They're definitely not going to want to be airing that ball out. Their schedule gets easy. I believe they have a game, you know, coming up against the Lions, some of these other bottom feeder teams in the NFL. So I would not be cutting Trey Sermon. I guess an area where I would you know, let's say my team is 2-3 and maybe I have a Saquon Barkley injury and I just need some points at running back. Maybe I need Darrell Williams. Maybe I need Jerick McKinnon. Maybe I need Kyle Juszczyk, right? Some, you know, I just need some points. If I needed immediate points, I would cut Sermon. But if I was feeling good about my team, looking like I was going to make the playoffs, I would want to hold on to him.
Okay, let's move over to the Las Vegas Raiders, who foolishly gave Kenyon Drake a few million dollars this season to do what exactly? I'm not sure, because he's got 24 carries and 57 rushing yards. And even without Jacobs, the only thing that he's done well is catch a few balls out of the backfield. Once Jacobs has come back, he's done nothing. They have two matchups coming up at Denver and at the Eagles. We know that he is the handcuff without a doubt, Davis, to Josh Jacobs. But even as the starter, he has not produced. And so, you know, he's still owned in a lot of leagues. But if you need to make a move, I mean, would you cut Kenyon Drake at this point? I mean, could you even start him even if Jacobs was out?
If Jacobs was out, I do think that you could start him because Peyton Barber himself is dealing with an injury and was not active last week. So, you know, it would kind of be a last man standing type thing. But, you know, actually, despite the fact that Drake has been a little bit more productive, I would definitely cut him ahead of Sermon because I basically don't see any way that Kenyon Drake, you know, any given week, I don't think he'll ever project for like 15 PPR points, right? I think best case scenario with Kenyon Drake on a given week, you're probably hoping for 13 carries and 45 yards, four receptions and 40 yards and a touchdown, right? That's kind of your best case scenario for a Kenyon Drake week. So I'm not rushing to cut him at this point. But for example, if he was cut this week in my league and my running back group had two guys I like to start, Trey Sermon, Darrell Williams and Kenneth Gainwell, I don't think I would cut any of those guys to pick him up, just kind of as an example there. So I'm middling on him, but would lean hold, especially while Peyton Barber is injured.
All right, let's move over to the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Reagor was so good in college. I thought he was going to be a star, but here we are more than a month into the season, and it just doesn't appear to be happening. 17 receptions, 140 receiving yards. He has one touchdown. He could have had another if he would have stayed in bounds. They play the Buccaneers coming up on Thursday night to get week 7 against the Raiders. Right now, he's a non-startable player in fantasy. Even if you started 4 or 5 receivers, you wouldn't be starting Reagor. Devonta Smith is clearly more talented and getting more looks than him. But the Philly always seems to be lacking that second receiver. Eventually, Davis, is Reagor it? Or is it time to just hit the wire, find somebody else, and let him go?
So again, I would lean more cut than keep on Jalen Reagor. He did get 8 targets, 5 catches, 53 yards against the Dallas Cowboys. You know, that was a game where they needed to throw. But you would have thought that losing that entire game to Kansas City, the team scores 30 points, you would have thought like, okay, like Reagor is going to have a good game here. But Devonta Smith gets 10 targets. Kenny Gainwell gets 8. Zach Ertz gets 8. Quez Watkins gets 7. So only one target in that game for Jalen Reagor. I think I would lean on the side of cutting him if there was like a guy I liked on the waiver wire, right? Like, so this is going to be in a 14 team league, probably not cutting him. 12-team mm-hmm. league with 16 roster spots, I think he probably is better left for the waiver wire right now.
Yep, makes sense. All right, let's move on to a name we never thought we'd be bringing up in fantasy a year or two ago, but here we are. Odell Beckham Jr., Cleveland Browns, 2021, 9 catches, not last week, on the season, 9 catches, 124 receiving yards. He has no touchdowns. They play the Cardinals this week. They play the Broncos in week 7. Certainly can't start Odell Beckham in any league at this point. I mean, do you keep him on name value here? I mean, he literally has no stats this season. He's done nothing.
Yeah, I'm definitely not cutting Odell Beckham at this point. You know, first, he had 9 and 7 targets in each of his first 2 games back from injury. He also, they worked him in as a receiver, or as a rusher, rather. He got jet sweeps in both of those games. And he also played 81% of the snaps. I think that probably it ends up equaling out. He ends up being kind of like a 12, 13 point per game guy. Now, I mean, to be clear, Odell Beckham has really not been good as a member of the Cleveland Browns. He's played 26 games as a member of the Cleveland Browns. He has two games with more than 100 yards. So that's not good. But I can't cut him because who am I cutting him for at this point? Would I cut him for Kadarius Toney if that was my decision? Sure. My guess, though, is that probably you do have a worse wide receiver on your roster than Odell.
Okay, and then finally, quarterback. Let's go to Justin Fields. A lot of people drafted him at the end of their draft, probably keeping him as their QB2 on a wing and a prayer. But the numbers obviously are not good. 458 passing yards, two touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, two interceptions. They're not showing really a lot of interest in throwing the ball that much in Chicago. They play the Packers this week, the Buccaneers. That's a pretty daunting schedule. And so, you know, your team is littered with injuries, 12-team league. You drafted Fields in a redraft league at the beginning of the season. Would you cut him this week if you had to?
Yeah, I would definitely cut him. Not because I think he's terrible or like, oh, you know, the Bears made it a bad pick or whatever, but because the entire thesis behind drafting Fields was that he was going to be utilized as a rusher, and he hasn't been. The most he has run was in the game where he came in for Andy Dalton as like a relief pitcher. Andy Dalton got injured in that week two game, and he ran 10 times for 31 yards. After that, he has run three times for 12 yards, three times for 9 yards, and three times for 4 yards. And they haven't even been, like, the Bears offense has just been bad and not good to watch. They've been playing this very conservative, like, 1940s style single T. Like, it's just, I don't know. Whatever Matt Nagy is doing is not how I would run their offense. But yeah, I would cut Fields.
Yeah, and it's a shame because Fields a ton of talent at Ohio State. I'm sure we'll see it eventually, just probably not with this current regime. Okay, we got to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back next, it's time for us to do some fantasy or reality. We'll also hear from Evan Longoria, the third baseman of the San Francisco Giants, give you a preview of tonight's Dodgers-Giants game. Stay on Sports Grid. More fantasy sports today. Coming up next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only run scored last night between the San Francisco Giants and Los Angeles Dodgers was a home run off the bat of Evan Longoria, no stranger to big games with Tampa Bay, including the World Series. And Longoria talked about going into this game today with a chance to knock out the Dodgers.
I mean, it's really no different than it's been all year. I mean, that's a really good baseball team. You know, they bounced back after our game one win. You know, and the offense showed up. So we definitely know that they're not going to roll over. You know, they've been down before and figured out ways to come back, and they've definitely got the players to do it. So, you know, again, hopefully tomorrow as a group we come out and try and kind of get on top and you know, silence this crowd here a little bit. And but, you know, it's not going to be easy.
Davis, this is one series I do hope that goes five. You know, I think the other ones, like if Atlanta won today, I'd be like, all right, you know, cool. If Houston wins today, I'd just be like, all right, yeah, they're probably going to win anyway. But I'm kind of like want this to end with a game five on Thursday night, don't you?
I mean, I feel like we're a little bit robbed that this was the divisional series game. I mean, doesn't this seem like a much better series for the championship series? I mean, all due respect, I don't care about the Brewers, and I don't really care about the Braves either. Like, the Braves without Ronald Acuna Jr. and the Brewers scoring like 0.7 runs per game in the playoffs, like, it just doesn't really do it for me. And the Dodgers versus their divisional thorn in the side, Giants, I mean, that to me is a much better series. So I agree with you. I think it's better for five. But the biggest bummer to me, and we haven't even talked about it because we've been so football focused, but Clayton Kershaw not pitching in the postseason, right. Huge bummer for me because, you know, I love Clayton Kershaw. And my favorite thing to do is that these donkeys who believe that Kershaw is a bad postseason pitcher, when Kershaw has pitched in the postseason over the last couple of years, you've gotten these amazing lines on him because the public is betting against Kershaw in these playoff games. So I feel like I'm being costed a little bit of money.
Yeah. How about us doing the show, Davis, in May and saying that the Dodgers are playing in the National League Championship Series and Clayton Kershaw is not pitching a game. Trevor Bauer is not pitching a game, but Max Scherzer is for LA, right? Like, try putting that one together back in May. What a strange...
And Walker Buehler is going to pitch on 3 days rest.
Yeah, the Dodgers are supposed to be stacked. I'm worried about them, man. I'm worried that this is just not their year, but they could certainly win tonight for sure and then go back to San Francisco Thursday night. That would be a good ratings game for sure. All right, turn it over to Brett Levy for Fantasy or Reality.
We've got quite a busy Tuesday in sports with three game fours in the MLB and NHL's opening night and the Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons news over the last 24 hours, John Gruden's news over the last 24 hours. So then the Sun Belt put this Tuesday night game on the schedule. They were probably expecting a few more eyeballs, but Davis, we'll start with you. You will watch Tuesday night football between App State and Louisiana Lafayette. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So for right now, I am undecided. I will watch this game if my buddy who is super into college football has a bet on it. So if I text him a little bit later and he's like, oh yeah, you know, my numbers have App State or Louisiana as like a good side, you know, you should bet this game, then I will bet on it and I will watch it. If I don't have a bet on it, I won't. I actually was thinking, you know, we talked about the James Bond movie last week, but I think I decided I do want to go see it. I haven't been to a movie in so long, and I just got thinking about going to movies. Like, man, I just really want to go get a slushy and the popcorn and go sit and watch a movie. So I might actually go do that tonight. I'm undecided right now, Craig.
Yeah, interesting there. A little pivot there on the on Kadarius Toney and movies over the last week or two. Interesting pivots. Okay, I'm 100% out on this game. Everybody knows I love college football, but let's get real. Tuesday night is not meant for college football until the baseball postseason is over, and then we got MAC attacks on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm well aware as to how college football works, but I got Little League tonight. We're back on the field. I got baseball tonight. My wife really is loving this, the morning show on Apple TV. So she's dragging me into this. It's actually a pretty good show. We're trying to do one episode a night. Love college football. Watched so much football this weekend. Probably the most I've watched in years this past Saturday and Sunday. This is one I got to push to the side. Yeah, I got to push this one to the side. Honestly, I may have to push Thursday night to the side too. I mean, Saturday and Sunday forced a wife out shopping day. Like, that could get rough after a few weeks. Acceptable for one every Sunday. I don't know. I'm out on this game tonight. I'll just, you'll tell me who ended up winning this one. I could tell you that both teams are good. I could tell you they're going to run a lot. I could tell you there's going to be a lot of points, but I have no idea. Out tonight, Brett, on this game, Tuesday night. Gotta be.
All right. Well, the Seattle Kraken make their NHL debut tonight. They stole their goalie from you, Craig, down in South Florida. So we'll start with you for this one. The Seattle Kraken will make the NHL playoffs. We saw this with the Golden Knights a few years ago in their debut season. They defied the odds, made the playoffs. The Kraken will do the same. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, so I'm not the person to really ask for this, so this is a guess. I will say fantasy because this would really destroy the notion of expansion teams coming into leagues and then having two different teams both make the playoffs in the NHL in the last decade. I'm going to say fantasy here. I don't know a ton about them. And George, who was on the show earlier, you know, basically mentioned that Seattle did not set themselves up in the same way that Vegas did initially. Vegas, clearly a lot of pressure also to succeed right out of the box in that city, to make people come, build a fan base there. Seattle, I mean, let's be honest, this is not the most passionate sports city in the world. You know, people are going to come when they have free time. It's the Pacific Northwest. There are other things to do. Do they love sports? Sure. Is it a little niche in Seattle? I think so. Let's also not forget they lost their NBA team because people didn't want to go to those games as well. I will say fantasy in year one. But again, Davis, I am probably not the right person to ask here. I'll just say that they finish around 500, which is not good enough to get in.
Aren't they actually a pretty good sports city? They did not lose the Seattle Supersonics because people didn't go. And by the way, I mean, I'm saying this as an Oklahoma City Thunder fan who benefited from it, but they lost that team because the guy who owns the Oklahoma City Thunder is basically a criminal. I mean, basically what Clay Bennett and the NBA did to the Seattle Supersonics was basically criminal. If you read into it, it was extremely crooked what they did. So I will say that, you know, you mentioned like, oh, you know, this isn't necessarily good for expansion teams to make the playoffs, but what happened with the Vegas Golden Knights is that it allowed all these teams to get good players who were just overpaid off their roster. So it actually ended up benefiting those teams a lot. Like, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights, what they won the Stanley Cup their first year. And it was because they were 24 deep with like B-plus players, all who were making a ton of money. They were all veterans. You know, they had no young guys on the roster. I can't say that I know all the guys on this roster a ton. Like, I can't say I know every single player, but I'm looking through here, and I like recognize some of these names. You know, Grubauer, pretty decent goalie. You know, they have a lot of guys on their forward line who were like good NHL players. I don't think any of them I don't think they seem as good as that Golden Knights team, but I'm going to go reality. They do make the playoffs because of how the rules were set up for them to come into the league.
All right. Our last question of the day. It's been reported, and we've seen some photos on the internet, that Mr. Big and Carrie Bradshaw, that is from Sex and the City, are getting back together. They've been filming in Paris. So we got to ask, and Davis, we'll start with you for this one. People still care about Mr. Big and Carrie Bradshaw. There's been a few movies. Sex and the City was on TV in the 90s, but people still care. Davis, is this a fantasy or reality?
I got to say, no one that I know cares at all. I do not care. I do not care at all. You know, I don't think my lady friend would care at all. Certainly none of my friends care at all. I think we were, I think that's kind of like an older millennial thing. Like I bet like 35-year-olds probably who were like watching Sex and the City when they were like freshmen in college and stuff. I bet people who are slightly older than me care, but no one I know cares about Sex and the City, about Carrie Bradshaw. Like I don't even think she like would register for most people who are 28, 29 years old.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to come off the wrong way with this. I do feel like that this show, because of the women that were on the show, and it's all based around women and their experiences, that I think there will be a great amount of people that are interested. My wife is not a good measure of this because she'll watch any of this stuff on TV. She'll 100% want to see this, the new Sex and the City movie. But I do feel like that this is like a Bravo TV show. Like this is just not something that I would watch, but I feel like a large percentage of the female persuasion will be very interested, who are in their, by the way, late 30s, and 40s in seeing another Sex in the City for sure. So I will say they still do care, but I would not think that any Davis of your buddies or any of my buddies or any of Brett's buddies or any of Greg Sussman, but maybe Mike Cardano's buddies would be interested in seeing this. They would rather see, you know, a football game of some kind, you know, any of these, you know, Game of Thrones type shows, streaming something. I just, the only way that I would get sucked into this is that if I walked in our bedroom and it was on and I'm like, ugh, okay, I have no shot. And then, Davis, I ain't grabbing that remote to change it. You know, that's definitely not going to happen.
That's off limits.
Yeah, no. I am the remote controller. But if something's already on, if I try and change it and put a football game on, like Saturday Night College Football or whatever, I get like the, whoa, I'm in the middle of this. What you can't do, just go watch that somewhere else. You have an office, go watch it. All right, fine, I'll go watch it in the office. So long story short, the answer is reality. I do still think that people care, but, you know, not the people that we know, and even me. I only, put it this way. I only watched Sex and the City because it came on, if I'm not mistaken, right before The Sopranos. Only reason why I watched it. So I always watch the end. All right, we got to take a break here on the show. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up next. Just as a reminder for the rest of the week of programming, Davis and I right back here tomorrow, noon to 2 Eastern. I'll be off Thursday, so George Kurtz and Davis will preview Thursday Night Football in the NFL. I'll be back on Friday here on FST. We'll be right back on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, I got to get out of here to watch some playoff baseball, postseason style. Of course, great games today. Hope you guys enjoy them. So before we leave, let's give you this edition of the Sports Grid 60.
So Kadarius Toney, Craig's guy, has this game, 10 catches, 189 yards. And I do, you know, the tweet that I got to. I was wrong. Look, I was straight up wrong about Kadarius Toney. Doesn't matter that he's a little bit too old. Doesn't matter that he wasn't that productive. You know, those things. He is going to be a good NFL wide receiver. And I totally get why people don't do that. Why you don't cop to being wrong about fantasy football. Because what do you think the responses I get? It's obviously you were wrong, bro. Did you not watch the film? Did you not watch Kadarius Toney at Florida? Of course he was going to be good. So that's it was a good reminder to me to just keep the victory laps, right? On the show, on Twitter, just victory laps from this point out.
Yeah, it won't go well. I don't think in either place. Zaire Wade, the son of Dwayne Wade, has signed with the G League team of the Utah Jazz, which is a friendly reminder that we're about to get the biggest story that's, I think, ever happened in the history of the NBA. We're 2 years away. LeBron James and his son are both going to be playing on the Los Angeles Lakers, folks. There's just no getting around this at this point. It is happening. It's one of the biggest stories that's going to ever happen in sports. Arguably the greatest or second greatest athlete in his profession going to play on the same field as his son. I mean, this is like Pete Rose Jr. To the 10th degree. But good luck to Zaire Wade, Dwayne Wade. I got to know very well through the years here in South Florida, of course. And shame he had to retire before his son eventually made it to the NBA. That'll do it for the show. Thank you to LTN. Thank you to Spencer for helping out as well. Danny and Ryan for Brett Levy and my co-host Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. I hope you have a great day, everybody. We will see you tomorrow right here on Fantasy Sports Today. And with that, we will leave you. Make sure you check us out.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The others?
Nah.